Praise the Lord. Well, I'm very pleased to say this morning, it's not me preaching, hallelujah. I was feeling, I don't know, pretty exhausted, I suppose is the word, on Friday afternoon as we were finishing off at church. So I mentioned that to Stuart and he said, I'll do Sunday morning. So bless you, Stuart. Please come and share with us what the Lord's put on your heart.
Good morning. This one on. This one as well. Okay. Well, I didn't know what I was going to share on Friday when John asked me. But you know, the Lord quickly gave me a word to share for this morning. You know, after such a devastatingly sad couple of weeks. Not just for our being Christian and, well, Tammy and Tolu as well and all the family. The whole family here at church and the Nigerian community as well. It's been such a sad time since the death of Tammy. And, you know, that is real. You know, there is such a sad loss. And we feel it at human level, don't we? But you know, the Lord said to me, and I'm sure he's been saying it to everybody here, you know, just as God's already said it to Christian, you know, there is life. There is life more abundant that goes beyond the physical death of our bodies. There is life, and God wants me to share something about that life. Inadequate as it may be that I can understand and pass on some of God's thoughts about what he really wants in this abundant life. There is eternal, and yet it's abundant. You know, Jesus in John 10:10 says, I am come that you might have, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't say, I have come. He says, I am come. Because it's God, I am. We heard on Friday, didn't we, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The ever-present God, I am, is the way to life. He is the truth. He is the life itself. And Jesus said many other things, didn't he? I am the bread of life. I am the door. But you know, it says in 1 John 4 that God is love. That's Jesus saying, I am love. We might struggle to understand what love is, but love is God. Those that live in God, it says, God lives in them. There's something very precious about love. You know, it's no coincidence that we've been singing about love this morning, is it? You know, I think my message has already been sung and already been read from God's word. And yet I believe God wants us to spend some time this morning just thinking about that life. And you know, God gave me a very precious interpretation of what life is. I believe life, L-I-F-E, is love through intimate fellowship every day. Love through intimate fellowship every day is life. God has a more abundant life for us. When he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he meant that we might have a deeper life, a more meaningful life, a life that's closer to him, a life that's fruitful, a life that's so meaningful that it's purposeful. You know, God wants us to have a life that's not just living in the physical body, But there's a life that's deeper than that, isn't it? There's a life that's based on our relationship with God. And that life is love. Those that love, live. If we love more, we live more. Because life is putting into action what God has asked us to do. But we might still say, well, what is love? How do we love? What is it? Well, we heard on Friday from one of the Nigerian fellowship leaders from Romans chapter 8. We've heard this morning again from Romans chapter 8 about God's love. And I have just been drawn to Romans chapter 8, which happens to be my favourite chapter in the Bible. And, you know, there'll perhaps be... I can't read it all, because it'll take perhaps too long, but please read that chapter. I'll quote several verses from that this morning. But I want to read, again, those verses at the end of Romans chapter 8 for us about God's love. Just from verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now this is not written to everybody, although I believe that God does love everybody. I believe love is basically the Lord's ongoing value of everyone, for God so loved the world. And yet this is written to the children of God. This whole chapter, Romans chapter 8, is written to those who are in Christ, for those who are Christians. And for Christians, there is nothing that will separate them from the love of God. You know, we can, through the sadness, we can give thanks that Tammy knows that love now. He lives on, doesn't he, in heaven? Abby and Christian still have 3 children, even though they've got the sadness of not having him with them now. But they know he is in heaven, because nothing can separate a child of God from the love of God, that precious, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Not even hardships that come in life can separate us. God still loves us, you know, when we're going through difficult times. Do you feel that love when you're going through difficult times? When circumstances really turn against us and we don't feel like doing anything and we're looking to who to blame. What does Romans 8 say in verse 28? God works all things together for good. For anybody? No, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Those that God loves, God's love is not separated from them at all. Even when they make mistakes, as we all do, don't we? We all still sin and we make mistakes, but God forgives us and his love is still towards us. You know, we can't earn that love, can we? Does God only love us when we're good? He loves us when we're bad as well, doesn't he? When we make mistakes, when we fall, when we forget to thank him for his ever presence and his love towards us. He still loves us. We can't deserve or earn a relationship with him for that love to be upon us, can we? And yet we try sometimes, don't we? You know, in our understanding of love, sometimes we think that, well, if I do something to please them, perhaps they'll love me. You know, and we think that way with God sometimes, that we have to please God for him to love us. But I tell you, no. God loves us, no matter what we've done. It doesn't depend how good we are. He loves us. And nothing will separate us, the children of God, from that love. And that love is real to every member of Abion Christian's family, isn't it? That love of God is real because they're children of God. Do you know what is love? Well, I'm not going to read 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love, but you know, I am going to quote Romans again, 5:7, which says, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, notice that, we weren't the good people, we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God demonstrating his love for us, isn't it? He loves us that much that Jesus died that we might live, that we might be forgiven for the things that we've done wrong and live in love. Because that's God's purpose for us. That's his desire. He doesn't will that any should perish. He demonstrated it. But you know, you read in 1 John again that, you know, God actually calls us to love that same way. He talks about laying your life down for your brother. You know, that's hard, isn't it? That's a hard, difficult thing for us to do in love, you know, and it was difficult for Peter. Do you remember in John 21, when Jesus himself is talking to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter had to say, well, yeah, you know that I love you, but he used a different word, didn't he? Because there are three words, three Greek words that refer to love. One is eros, which is the love between boy and girl. When they first meet and they feel all gooey inside, you know, because there's something's happening. There's emotions coming up they've never experienced before. And I might be 60, but I can still remember when I first looked into Anne's eyes and felt that feeling. You know, that is love, isn't it? It is love, and the proper channel for that love as on an ongoing basis is between husband and wife. You know, that is love. But that wasn't the love that Jesus asked Peter about. It wasn't even the love that Peter responded with. He's, you know, God used a word called agape. And Peter used a word called filio. And filio is brotherly love or friendship love. You know, the love that we genuinely feel for people. You know, and Peter genuinely loved the Lord Jesus with filial love. But it wasn't what God was asking. You know, and there's been such a lot of love shown, hasn't there, these last 2 weeks by people. You know, there's a lot of love shared. And it may be filial love like Peter, but it may be agape love. God wants us to love with his love, and that's the kind of love, agape love, that means that you don't have to do anything in return. You know, we're so often operating at that level of love where we only love when people do nice things to us or we feel they're loving us. But God loves even when he doesn't get anything back. Agape love is a giving love. You know, when I first fell in love with Anne, you know, perhaps she doesn't remember it that way, but I just wanted to spend time with her. You know, that is what love does. You want to spend time. You want to give time. I remember I was supposed to be doing my studies for me finals. You know, and I did do a bit of studying, but you know, my dad was lovely. You know. He knew I really wanted to go and see Anne. So he said, have a break from studies, you know, and he encouraged me because he loved me, you know, and he knew that I wanted to spend time with the person that I loved, you know. And that is what love is, really, isn't it? You want to spend time with the person that you love. Just like people have been loving Abby and Christian and the family this last week or two. They've spent time, haven't they? So many people I've heard, you know, I've been round at the house and just spending time with them. They're just expressing love. And that's what God, I believe, wants us to do. Because, you know, we can give many things, can't we? Love is about giving, isn't it? You give to the other person. Rather than just being selfish, you know, the world says, look after number one, doesn't it, you know. But God says, give and look after the other people. Give. And the most precious asset that we have, do you know that, is our time. Our time given to somebody else is the highest sacrifice. It's what God calls us, I believe, to give. But God says, give. But you know, God gives us a commandment to love, doesn't he? In fact, he says, when asked what's the greatest commandment, you all know it, don't you? You know, God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. That's the greatest commandment. He's asking us to do something which he knows is the best thing for our abundant life. Love God. And then he says, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and you will be able to love your neighbour as yourself. And that's the right way around, isn't it? Two commandments. Love God and then love your neighbour. And we'll think a little in a short while who our neighbour is. But, you know, it's to love other people with the same love that we learn to love God with, agape love. We will then be able to share that agape love with others. So love is about giving. And particularly our time, but whatever other resources, whatever way we can bless other people, that's what God wants us to do. But you know, the second letter of life is love through intimate fellowship. Every day. To be intimate is to be close, isn't it? It's to be so close, and yet I believe God wants us to live close to God. And Romans 8, verse 1 says, therefore. And I have to say a little bit what that's there for, because whenever the Bible starts with therefore, you have to ask, what's that there for? And it's there because Romans 8 comes after Romans 7. And Romans 7 is the great chapter that talks about the human difficulties that Paul had. So he's not the only one that had difficulty living the kind of life with agape love flowing through him. His flesh was causing him problems. And he was not doing the things he ought to do, and he was doing the things that he ought not to do. And there was a battle there. But you know, that passage moves on and it brings us through that verse that says, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it goes on to say, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on. It's sometimes in the footnote, but it certainly appears later in a few verses later. But it reads on that those who are in Christ, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who are in Christ have no condemnation for the failures. Right? To be in Christ is to be someone who does not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, what's that mean? You know, we can live by worldly standards. We can live by the best of our mind and our logic, the way that we think. We can choose to live that way. But that is the flesh. However good our intentions might be, if it comes from our minds and our thoughts and our abilities, it's the flesh. It's what we can muster up, isn't it? But the Spirit is what God leads us with. And this intimate relationship that I believe God is challenging us perhaps today to move more into, to love more through an intimate relationship with Him and with other people, with agape love flowing through us. It's about being led by the Spirit. What does it say in, again, Romans chapter 18, verse 14 says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The intimate relationship is all about being led by the Spirit in the things that we do. How often are we actually prompted to do something? Maybe we do it. Maybe we just think, oh, that was just a thought, you know, I can't possibly do that, you know, it doesn't sound logical. But you know, if we're in an intimate relationship with God, God might want us to express our love to somebody else. God's love. To be a channel for God's love to flow through us, we have to be in touch with God at this intimate level so that we can pass on that love to somebody else. You might get a prompting just to go and visit somebody, or to go and give something to somebody, or to ring somebody up. We might get a prompting to do something. You know, the Bible does say obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, you can make great sacrifices and think, well, I'll do this, and you're actually doing it in the flesh because it's an idea you've had, but you're going to make a personal sacrifice and you're going to do something really good for somebody else. Well, you know, there's a lot of merit in that. You know, I don't want to run that down, but I believe what God is saying is for agape love to flow through us, we need to not only hear that prompting, that leading of the Spirit, and we sometimes have to learn. I remember years ago, the first time I ever heard God speak to me, I learned to recognize that voice. I don't always recognize it now, and I don't always respond to it. You know, I'm just not as sensitive as I should be. But on that occasion, I heard a still small voice. It wasn't a loud trumpet call or big neon flashing light saying, this is the Spirit leading me, or speaking to me. It's a still small voice. And you know, to really know that that was God's voice, you have to do something with it. You have to respond to it. You have to say, all right, yeah, is that a prompting from you? I'll go. And you know, it may just be me, but I don't know that it's God's voice until I respond to it and say, well, if that was you, Lord, I'll do it. And then we realize that God is actually prompting us to do things. Obedience is what he wants. He wants us to hear that prompting and then to respond to it. And that's when the love of God will flow through us. That's when we start to live. As we love more, we live more, as God wants us to do. You know, this is eternal life, but it starts now, doesn't it? God wants us to be loving now and living now in his presence. And it is an intimate relationship. Let me just read a few verses again from Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. When you cry, Abba, Father, you are realizing that Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit are your God, and God is your Father. Daddy, there's an intimate relationship. God will lead you by his Spirit and by his Word. But that's an intimate relationship, isn't it? The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How do you know that? You know, there is a separation from God. There is spiritual death. We're talking about spiritual life as children of God, aren't we? It's eternal. But you know, there's those verses, there's the law, it says in verse 2, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. You know, those who have not had that testifying spirit witnessing that they are children of God are those that perhaps have been subject to the law of sin and death. Because the wages of sin is death. That's what God says in his word. If people go on sinning and reject the salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ, the wages is death. That's spiritual death. That's not the abundant life that we're talking about. Because people who reject Jesus Christ, I'm not just talking about people who slip out of the way or even backslide or make a few mistakes. Those who reject Jesus Christ, who commit apostasy, you really, you know, deny it, they are separating themselves from God's love. And spiritual death is the end result, isn't it? That's what death is. That's what spiritual death is, and it's a very real thing. It really tests us how much we love our family and our friends who don't yet know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, don't they? We need to perhaps love them more and have a heart for others more. But you know, when we have this intimate relationship and Jesus himself, God himself testifies through his spirit to our spirit that we are children of God. That is an intimate relationship with God that God wants for every person because he loves every person. So he wants us to be intimate. For this love to flow, then there has to be intimacy with God and with other people. It's only as we have the close relationships that the love of God can really flow through us. We have to be led by the Spirit and we have to respond to the prompting and do what we believe, act in faith, if you like, and put into practice what we believe God is prompting us to do. And I believe we'll see a greater flow of his love. So love through intimate fellowship. What is fellowship? Well, there's another Greek word that's used for fellowship in the Bible. It's called koinonia. And koinonia is the same word that's used when we share in the body of Christ. We share in communion. It's a deep sharing in the body of Christ. It's the same word that's used and it means participate in. It's the same word that is used in 2 Peter chapter 1 when it talks about we can participate in the nature of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? We can actually participate in the nature of Christ. Why? Because God has made us children of God, but the body of Christ. And when we love on earth, we're agape love. We are loving for God. Have you ever thought of it that way? God is loving people through us. We're sharing. We're participating in his nature. And what happens when we're led of the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit, the nature of God grows in us. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. But first and foremost, love is the nature of God. And it grows in us. More agape love, more life. As we have fellowship, as we participate. And the commandments, of course, to exercise that love in our relationship with God and with our neighbours. And if we're to have fellowship with our neighbours. What does that mean? That you knock on your next door neighbours and say, I need to have fellowship with you. I need to share a bit of God's love. Maybe. But our neighbours are those like the Good Samaritan story. The neighbours are whoever God puts across our path. Neighbours are other people that we come across, that become neighbours to us, that we can help. You know, God has called us to have fellowship and to reach out and share God's love, to participate in that love and be a channel for God's love to reach other people. We have some tremendous outreach opportunities in this church, you know. The Cafe Church next Sunday is an opportunity for us to share fellowship and to share the love of God with other people. Maybe with our real neighbours, maybe with our people that we work with, maybe with other friends and family members. You know, how much do you love them? How much do you care about other people? We need to be inviting people to every opportunity where they can receive something of real abundant life from God, don't we? So take the opportunity, invite people, share something of God's love and bring them to the Cafe Church. But it's not just about coming to church, is it? You know, it's about sharing God's love. This is just one opportunity. You could bring people to the FGB, Full Gospel Businesses dinners, you know, and they'll hear something about the love of God for them and how God's love can change their lives and give them an abundant life. So remember, as we share fellowship, that is outreach as well, because God's called us to be witnesses, to share his love with others. And you know, we are heirs with God. If we're sons of God, if we're children of God, it says so again in Romans 8, verse 17. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. What does that mean? It means that God will give us all his resources, everything we need to be able to share God's love with other people. If you don't think you've got anything to share with people, you can't really, you know, give them anything, then just give them what God gives you. Because God gives us gifts, doesn't he? He's given us his love, primarily, but you know, there's nine spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, which are what God gives us to pass on to other people. The gift of prophecy, sharing a word from God, the words of knowledge or wisdom, just to share, to show that God loves people. There are gifts that God wants us to use. And I think if we're to share fellowship, the word is participate, and to use what God has given us to share God's love with other people. And the last word as I close, life is love through intimate fellowship every day. We don't just love the other members of the body and other people on a Sunday, do we? You know, God has given us this great privilege of being channels for his love, to pass that on every day. We need to pray in the Spirit, because it talks about that here, in Romans 8, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Do you know, sometimes you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to pray, but God just says, pray in tongues, pray without using the English language. Just pray from the Spirit. And that's how God intercedes for us. He enables us to pray in the Spirit. And pray without ceasing. You know, is God asking us to pray, have prayer meetings 24 hours a day, every day? No, he's just saying, be led by the Spirit. Be conscious of God's presence and pray every day for all those opportunities that God will give us to share something of God's love with somebody else. Just be conscious that God is with us He'd never leave us nor forsake us. His love, we can't be separated from that love. That source of love is always there that we can pass on to other people. It's every day. And we seek to please God, don't we? But you can only please God by faith. Do you know that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith means putting into action, doing what God leads us to do. Responding to that little prompting and saying, yeah, I'll do it. Straight away. I'll follow God's leading. I'll stay in that close relationship and be a blessing to somebody else. Be faithful, is what God's saying, I believe. Be faithful. And love. Walk in his presence. There's a lot in Romans 8, really, about walking, by living, walking, going on. It isn't just a one-off experience, is it? You know, being a Christian. It's an ongoing, day by day, minute by minute experience. But I believe, as well as God wanting us to think about his love and how we can be, cannot be separated from that love, he wants us to pass that love on to this world in which he's placed us, and to be faithful, to live more by loving more. And I believe God will bless each one of us as we move on in living the life that God gave us to give. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for your precious gift. For that gift is Jesus himself. He died on the cross for us as God was demonstrating his love for each one of us. This morning we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he died for each one of us. We thank you that he went through death to demonstrate that there is indeed life beyond the grave. Life beyond physical death. That life that you give us, Lord, is eternal. So, Lord, we thank you this morning for life. We thank you that you came to give us life more abundant. And we just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for loving us. Help us to be channels to pass that love on to others and to live this life that you died, that we might live for you. Bless each one of us as we go from this place this morning in your presence. And by your grace, may we bless others and encourage others to live in this precious relationship with you that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.